Zechariah 11, verse 1 to 3. Zechariah 11, verse 1 to 3, which is a powerful prophecy given about 500 years ahead of time. Judgment on the whole land of Israel. The reason is because they rejected their Messiah. Okay. Basically, there are two fulfillments. One of the fulfillment is during AD 70, which is a partial fulfillment. And there's an ultimate fulfillment, which is at the end of the age, prior to the second coming of Jesus, where God, more than just judging the nation of Israel, he's going to judge all nations. Why? The main reason is to cleanse the earth and to remove all evil and sin so that he can establish that eternal righteousness of the millennial kingdom, which Daniel prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. Take me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Any student of end time prophecy, you must know Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, where it's famously called the 70 weeks prophecy. Okay, it's so accurate, primarily centered around Israel. Okay, and in verse 24, at the end of the 70 week prophecy, God promised that he would do this through Israel. And in Israel, he said this, there are six things. Okay, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression. That means the punishment of the nation of Israel. And because of the judgment, she went into exile. She will come back. Okay. To finish the transgression, basically about the exile of Israel, she'll be regathered back into the land. Second thing, to make an end of sin. That means he will remove every sin, every evil on the face of this earth. Okay? Most of this has not been fully fulfilled. Third one, to make a reconciliation for iniquity. Talking about Jesus will come and die on the cross. Of course, he came. This has been fulfilled. Fourth one, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Nations will be ruled based on righteousness. This will only fully fulfill and begin to fulfill at the beginning of the millennium kingdom. Fifth one, to seal up visions and prophecy. Every plan, this is in the context for Israel. So every salvation plan that God has for Israel will be fully fulfilled. And the last one, to anoint the most holy. Talking about Jesus will become the King of Kings of all nations. Okay, so that's the reason why God is going to bring judgment. Okay, which is Zechariah 11, verse 1 to 3. Okay, partially fulfilled in AD 70. Read verse 1. Let's read verse 1. He said this, open your doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour your cedar. Okay, basically what Zechariah is saying is this, open the door. You know, it's the context of that Roman invasion in AD 70. Why open the door? Basically God said, no point resisting. I am the one that's going to send judgment. No point resisting. He basically addressed two categories of people. One is called Lebanon, another one is Cyprus, right, in the context of tree. Okay. Lebanon is symbolically referring to the leadership of the nation of Israel. It is them who caused that judgment to come because primarily it's the leadership of the nation of Israel that rejected the Messiah. Okay, so verse 1 is primarily addressing to the leadership. Say, open your door. I mean, it's like, enemy is coming. Don't close the door. Don't close the gate of the city. Say, no point even resisting. Because I am the one who sent the judgment, O Lebanon. Okay, the attack is primarily coming from north to the south of the nation of Israel. Open the door. No point resisting. O Lebanon, that fire may devour cedar. Basically, it's a very powerful prophecy that even Jeremiah, Ezekiel, as well as Joel, saying that don't resist because judgment is going to be fulfilled. Verse 2. Of course, it fulfilled AD 70. Will, O Cyprus, is referring now to the next category of people, is the common people. Firstly, addressed to the leadership, now to the common people. Why will? Let me basically say, start crying. There's no chance. You won't survive. No mercy or favor will be shown. Because God has determined that judgment. Okay. And you read the whole verse, basically Zechariah is saying that it, because it's comparing the cedar tree from Lebanon with oaks of Bashan, which is from Cyprus. Okay, so if you understand, cedar tree is one of the best tree. If even cedar tree is being destroyed, being brought down, what chance are there for the oaks of Bashan? That's why I say, well, start crying, because there's no chance. Judgment is going to come. You know, I learn this every time I read this verse. I always remind myself that we always need to get right with God. Because if people come against me, it's not such a big problem because I can turn to God. Even when Satan come against me, it's still not such a big problem, even though the problem increased a little bit. Because I can still turn to God. But if God come against me, I'm in deep trouble. This is what's happening. God said, open the door. Don't even resist. Will, because there isn't a chance. Because I am the one that's going to send judgment. Of course, out of judgment, God is demonstrating mercy. Out of judgment, you know, judgment is defined as God trying to remove everything that hinders love. That's why even in the midst of judgment, we need to learn to see the grace and mercy of God. It is not the heart of God to totally destroy Israel. It's the heart of God to refine Israel, to remove everything that caused Israel to turn away from God so that she will turn. Because the key word in the book of Jeremiah is turn. Turn, Israel. If you turn, I will show mercy. And God sometimes allowed that. Okay, verse 2. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen. There is no chance. Start crying. Start crying. And if you study the nation of Israel in the final 20 to 14 years before the Nebuchadnezzar army came, they did not respond. In fact, they think that God is pleased with them. Later, the next verse will show so clearly. Okay. Because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan, for the thick forest has come down. Verse 3. Now, again, it comes back to talk about the leadership. Talking about the leadership now will wail. Because they realize that everything will be totally destroyed by the invading Roman Empire. Okay, there is the sound of the wailing shepherds because they realize that everything will be destroyed because God is against them. For their glory is in ruin. Jerusalem will be totally destroyed. Because you must understand this, because before the Nebuchadnezzar army invaded Israel, they never thought that Jerusalem would fall because they believed that God is behind. Yeah. God is behind Jerusalem. God will protect and embrace them. So the glory is ruined. There is the sound of the roaring lion, talking about the coming invading Romans army. For the pride of Jordan is in ruin. Everything is totally ruined. Let's go to verse 4 to 14. Verse 4 to 14. Primarily is about the reason for judgment. Okay, verse 4 to 14 give us the reason for verse 1 to 3. Primarily because Israel rejected the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. Okay, it's 500 years before the first coming of Jesus. The Lord came as their best shepherd, but they totally rejected him. This is the first prophetic act in Zechariah 11. Okay, Zechariah was told to offer himself as a shepherd to care for a flock. Okay, in the whole few verses, basically it's foretelling that because Israel rejected the Messiah, Zechariah came like a shepherd that is feeding the flock soon to be slaughtered. It's like feeding the lamb that to be slaughtered. Okay, in this few verses, he's like telling the story. You know, he's speaking as a Messiah and he's speaking for the Messiah. Let's read verse 4. Okay, he's playing the role of the shepherd. Thus says the Lord of hosts, feed the flock for slaughter. It's like prophesying the judgment of AD 70 and also at the end of the age. Why? God will not change his mind. He's going to bring judgment. Why? Because God knows that the spiritual condition of Israel is really bad. They are going to be hostile towards God. They have already set their heart against God. That's where when John the Baptist came, I think it's Matthew 11, they say John the Baptist is demonized. Not just John the Baptist. In John 10, they say Jesus is demonized. Because their heart is set against God. So God knows. That's why through Zechariah, he prophesied that we're going to feed the flock for slaughter. Verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. Whose owners slaughtered them and feel no guilt. Those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord. I'll explain to you word by word through this verse. Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their strength and their shepherds do not pity them. Primarily centered around the shepherd of Israel, the leader of Israel, okay? Because they think that they are doing well. They think that God is pleased and God is blessing them. That's why they say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, without realizing that their heart is so far away from God. Their heart is set against God. But worse than that, they are taking advantage of the sheep that is being entrusted to them. That's why the verse says, their shepherd do not pity them, because they abuse and misled the nation of Israel. Okay. Verse 5, whose owner slaughtered them. The owner talks about the Romans. Okay, Romans, because by the time Jesus come, Roman Empire actually controlled Jerusalem. Okay, Jerusalem is under the Roman domination. So it is a prophecy of AD 70 where the Roman Empire led by Emperor Titus is going to totally slaughter and destroy Jerusalem. Okay, and they feel no guilt. They were totally destroyed. It's horrifying. It's a very horrible and a terrible event. Okay, turn to me to Luke 21 because Jesus also prophesied it. Luke 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 20. Jesus actually built on this prophecy. Verse 20, say this, or maybe I read from verse 22. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing baby in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon the people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captives into all the nation. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Basically prophesying, or rather Jesus building on Zechariah 11 verse 5, talking about the owners that will slaughter them and feel no guilt. They will totally destroy Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to verse 6. Now Jesus is speaking. to Zechariah. Zechariah is like prophesying the heart of the Lord. You see, I will no longer pity the inhabitants of the land. Wow. Because they rejected the Messiah. I will no longer pity. That means the Lord say, I'll no longer show mercy. I will reject them because they have rejected them. Rejected him. Because the Lord saw their murderous heart. This is like 500 years ahead of time. The Lord already seeing it. Okay. Turn me to Matthew 23, verse 35. Yeah, where Jesus actually prophesied through this verse 6, okay, about their murderous heart. And eventually, Zechariah was being murdered as a prophet, okay. Matthew 23, verse 25, say this, that on you, referring to Jewish leaders who rejected Jesus, may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth. And from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murder between the temple and the altar. Wow. Why the Lord no longer show pity is because he saw the murderous heart in them. Okay, they rejected the Messiah. Okay. Says the Lord, indeed, I will give everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of the kings. They shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand. Basically, the Lord said that I will deliver Israel into the hands of the Roman king. Because you don't want me as your king, so now I'm going to hand you to the Romans king. Let's go to verse 7 to 14. About Israel's rejection of Jesus as the good shepherd. So I feed the flock for slaughter. What a scary prophetic word or prophetic picture of Jesus as the good shepherd. Basically saying that Israel is destined for slaughter because of their decision in rejecting the Messiah. So I fed the flock for slaughter. In particular, the poor of the flock. I will explain why it's the poor of the flock later. I took for myself two staffs, the one that I call beauty and I call born, and I fed the flock. I mentioned earlier, any shepherd, okay, when they go out to lead or take care of the sheep, they always carry two staffs. Okay. One staff is to protect, another staff is to direct or guide. You know, when you understand this, you look at the picture Jesus said, or rather to Zechariah, he said, there's two staff. One is beauty, which it means covenant. Another one, which is born, which means it's going to give grace to unified. What comes to your mind is really Psalms 23. Jesus always has a shepherd heart over the nation of Israel. He's the shepherd over Israel. And because he's a shepherd over Israel, Israel should have no lack. Because there are two staff. The covenant, which he promised to protect, he promised to provide, he promised to guide. Okay, which is born. He will unify the nation of Israel. Okay, it's a very powerful picture. Because when he goes slightly further, Zechariah broke the two staff. It's like God saying that because you rejected me for a season, I'm going to break the covenant with you. Of course, it's only temporary for a season because God is always faithful. When he makes the covenant, he will not break the covenant. The reason he lift his hand up over the covenant and stop protecting the nation of Israel is because he's going to do a greater work for Israel. And through Israel, he's going to bless nations. You know, that's where Paul talks about in Romans 11. Because of Israel's rejection, the gospel come to the Gentiles. And as the Gentile gets saved, eventually Gentiles will provoke Israel to jealousy. So right now, Zechariah is giving a very powerful prophetic picture. Yes, I have two staff, beauty and born. But because of your rejection, I'm going to break it. Okay, so that's verse 7. Let's turn to verse 8. Now he expressed his feeling why he's going to break the staff, which is much later. is because of their heart toward the Messiah. Verse 8 says this, I dismiss the three shepherds in one month. Okay, so in one month, Zechariah fired three shepherds. Primarily, the dismissal is revealing God's heart towards the leadership of the nation of Israel. Because they are dead, because they are lawless, because they are hypocritical, and they are full of uncleanness. Which Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 23. Okay, the three shepherds primarily referring to three categories. Okay, they are the elders, they are the chief priests, and they are the scribes. Okay, when Zechariah acting as God's voice saying that, I dismiss the three shepherds in one month, is expressing how God feels towards the leadership of Israel, and the result and the consequence of the dismissal of this three shepherd means it's an outward sign that for a brief moment, now God is going to suspend Israel's enjoyment of his covenantal relationship and all the benefits like provision and protection for that very season. Okay, I will dismiss the three shepherds in one month. My soul loathe them. That's how the Lord feel towards them. Why? Because their soul abhorred me. Because firstly, they are the one who rejected the Messiah. Okay, just write this down. Okay, I'm not going to turn to it. Matthew 23, verse 27 to 28. Matthew 23, verse 27 to verse 28, which give us a reason why here the Lord through Zechariah said that my soul loathe them because of their heart and their attitude towards God, okay? And their inner life, where Jesus said, you are dead. You are full of lawlessness towards me. You are hypocritical. And there's uncleanness that's within you, okay? Verse 9. Then I said, I will not feed you. It's kind of like God lifted his hand like a shepherd. He was the shepherd. And because he was the shepherd, Israel shall have no lack. But right now, he's going to lift up that covenantal relationship for a season and say, I will not feed you. God is going to reject Israel for a season. Listen to this. Coming from God is kind of scary. Let what is dying die, which fulfilled in AD 70. It's going to happen again at the end of the age. Because if you read what happened in AD 70, many Jewish people died. Many Jewish people, but there's something worse that is prophesied in verse 9. What is perishing, perish. Let those that are left eat each other's flesh. Wow. That means it's kind of like prophesying, what's the term called? Cannibalism. Yeah, but you really go back and study history of AD 70. The Jewish people were so hungry, they literally eat each other's flesh. That actually happens and God allows it. Wow. Verse 9, which is fulfilled in AD 70, but it's going to happen again. Okay, verse 10. Now, temporary judgment of God. Where God is going to lift up his protection and allow the Gentile nation to attack Israel. You know, theological term is called Gentile domination. You see, again, it's a very powerful principle that we can learn. If God does not allow it, Satan can't harm us. Of course, there are many reasons why God allows it. It can be because he wants to discipline us. Or he wants to refine us, like Job. Okay. But this is very powerful because God lift up the temporary protection because God has made a covenant in verse 10. God has made a covenant with Israel. And here he's saying it in the context to nations around Israel that God has made a covenant with nations that nations cannot harm Israel. But now he's going to lift up that covenant for a season. and allow it to happen. It's going to happen again at the end of the age. I'll show you one verse in Daniel 12. Let's read verse 10 first. And I took my staff. Verse 10. Oh, goodness. I have 10 more minutes. I took my staff, beauty. Another translation is favor or covenant. Okay, basically, talking about the covenant that God has with Israel. Okay, one of it is to keep Israel from harm by nations. Now God is going to lift it up. That's why now, for centuries, Israel was always under Gentile domination. That's why they are always yearning for their Messiah to come back, to liberate them, to free them. But they didn't realize that it was part of God's bigger plan. Because God wants to use Israel as a nation. But Israel have to have humility, righteousness, holiness, but she did not have. And Jesus prophesied, you are dead, you are hypocritical, you are lawless, you are unclean. I came first time as the spiritual reformer to clean you up so that I can partner with you to bring the glory of God to nations. But Israel rejected the first coming of Jesus because they were not looking for a spiritual reformer. They want to be set free. They are looking for freedom fighters, so they rejected the Messiah. So the Lord lifted for a season, okay. Verse 10, I took my staff, beauty, and cut it in two, that I might break the covenant which I had made with all the people. Basically talking about that for a season, God is going to lift his hand of protection over Israel and allow Gentiles to attack Israel. If it's God, no nations can uproot Israel. One more time, God is going to do it again in the final 3.5 years of human history. Take me to Daniel 12. Daniel 12. If there's one angel that stand watch over Israel, it's Angel Michael. The Bible makes it very clear. But for a season at the end of the age, for last 3.5 years of human history, God is going to ask Angel Michael to be lifted up just for a season and allowing God to refine. Okay, Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. Say this, at the time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stand watch over the sons of the people. Stand up. That means God asked him to depart for a season. Then what is going to happen? This is pertaining to Jerusalem, the nation of Israel. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. That means there will be such trouble that is unprecedented that's going to happen to the nation of Israel. And at that time, your people shall deliver. There's good in one verse, there's good news and bad news. Bad news is that God is going to allow it. Good news is that eventually, God will deliver the nation of Israel. Okay, so that's what it is about. Okay, verse 10. Let's go to verse 10. So it was broken on that day. Thus the poor of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. There's one category of people understood, the poor. Interestingly, if you translate the verse from Hebrew, it basically means those who are humble, the godly remnant. Wow, we can learn much from it, isn't it? At the end of the day, God is not impressed with giftedness or talent. It's the humble and the godly remnant at the end of the age that they will understand. Because you go back to verse 5, the shepherds of Israel thought that they are blessed by God and they are rich and God is pleased with them. They did not fully understand. But there's a group, the poor of the flock who were watching. They understood. Okay, let's go to verse 12 and 14. Verse 12 and 14. Now, a clearer attitude of Israel towards a Messiah is now being revealed. You know, I say earlier, through the payment of the wages to Zechariah. Zechariah said, pay me. See how, tell me how much worthy I am of my service to you as a shepherd, as a prophetic revelation of how Israel value Jesus when he came for the first time. They say, I will give you only 30 pieces of silver. It's like saying that, well, your worth is about like a slave who were injured. So I have to compensate you. You only worth the 30 pieces of silver. Wow. Wow. What an attitude towards the Lord. Okay, verse 12. Then I say to them, basically it's like Zechariah saying, what do you think of Jesus? Okay, now what do you think of Jesus? If it's agreeable to you, give me my wages. If not, refrain. What's their response? They weigh out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. Essentially, they are saying that Jesus come as a Messiah. His 3.5 years on earth is merely comparable to a slave. Wow. You know, sometimes we do unconsciously treat the Lord that way, even though we may not say it through our action, through our giving, through our whatever, you know. Yeah, so it's something that we can learn so much. But this is Israel's attitude. This is how we view Jesus. He only worth 30 pieces of silver. Verse 13. Reveal God's response. Okay, God's response. This is not exactly a nice verse because it's a statement of sarcasm by God and a statement of disdain. If you study the whole scripture, only two times God mocked. One is Psalms 2:5. Remember? Nations plan a revolt against God. God the Father from heaven looks down. He laughs in delusion. That means he mocks. He makes a statement of sarcasm. When God makes a statement of sarcasm, it's kind of terrifying. This is the second time where he make a statement of sarcasm, basically revealing how he feel. Okay. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. Okay, throw it to the potter. It's basically a statement and expression of his total disdain of how Israel feel towards them. Now he make the statement of sarcasm, that princely prize that they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the porter. Verse 14. Now he's going to break the second staff, which is bond. Bond is talking about unity. Okay, Israel can be united is because of the grace of God. And as a result, temporarily, God break that bond. Israel is going to be divided totally. Okay, so that's verse 14. Then I cut in two my other staff, bonds that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Now let's go to verse 15 and 17 quickly, in five minutes. You know, I'm doing this justice to that. Three verses. Verse 15 to 17 is a second prophetic act of Zechariah. Now he came depicting as the false shepherd, the Antichrist. Okay? It's a very terrifying passage of scripture because that three verses makes it very clear who raised up the false shepherd, who raised up the foolish and the worthless shepherd for Israel to choose. The Bible makes it very clear. Let's read verse 16 together, like what I did the last time, so that you know that it's not me. Who raised up? Because we need to understand the principle. Because at the end of the age, God does allow, some say, you know, I want to say it gingerly and carefully because it's a huge statement. God allows Antichrist to rise up. In certain passages of scripture, God makes it very clear. God raised up Antichrist. There is a purpose. There is a reason. And here in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 16, the Bible is so clear. God is the one who raised up the foolish shepherd. Let's read verse 16. Okay. Take me to Zechariah 11, verse 16. 1, 2, 3. No one there to read. Okay, let's try one more time. Let's read with more conviction. It's the word of God. Okay, so don't be hesitant. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The Bible say what? I will raise up. Who raised up the foolish shepherd or the false shepherd? God. God. God is the one who raised up this man and allowed Israel to choose. Wow. This is the principle of free will. You know, the Bible is very consistent. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, which I put in my on my Facebook, at the end of the age, okay, God is going to allow free will with no restraint to let man choose. What's the reason? It's to reveal how wicked is our heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says what? Our heart is deceptive. No one knows. You see, right now, there are rules, there are laws. God has the hand of restraint over us and over nations. Sometimes we complain, you know, like typical Singaporean, throw rubbish, also must fine. Now it's $5,000, right? Yeah. Sometimes restraint is, oh, y'all were shocked. So don't throw rubbish in Singapore. They'll be fined $5,000. Okay. Sometimes there's a restraint. God put a hand of restraint over us is grace. Because if God lifts that restraint, sin has no consequence for a season. That's where all the ugliness of the heart will begin to come out. You know, many of us don't even need to ask you to lift up your hand and say, yes, I ever did it. Have you ever made the statement, I'm so angry with this person, I wish I killed that person? Have you? Never, only me. Okay, I'm the guilty one. I will not act on it because there are consequences. If there are no consequences, you never know. It's like God, at the end of the age, is going to allow free will with no restraint for a season. Unfortunately, many will choose evil. Many will choose wickedness. Many will choose sin. But thank God, there will be a company of God's people that even in the midst of all this temptation, persecution, we will choose righteousness. We will choose justice. We will choose truth. We will choose wholehearted love. We will choose obedience. But we have to prepare our heart right now because it's not going to be easy. This is what is going to happen to Israel. God is going to raise up that foolish shepherd to let Israel choose so that God make a statement that I am right and he has to discipline and refine the nation of Israel. There are a few verses, just write down. I have no time to turn to it. Okay, Revelation 6, verse 1 and 2. Talk about the lamb that opened the seal. And the first seal was being opened. A man sat on the white horse, come forth. It talks about Antichrist begin to come forth as the first seal is being released. Who released the first seal? The lamb is Jesus. Okay. Another one, Revelation 13, verse 5 to 7. Talks about he is the one, God is the one who give authority to Antichrist. Okay, is there prophetic precedent? Yes, there are. I just give you three in the Bible. Pharaoh. God raised up Pharaoh to kind of like test Israel. Second, in 722 BC, an Assyrian king called Sennacherib. Sennacherib. Of course, the third one, we all know, Nebuchadnezzar. 586 BC. Okay, God, there is biblical precedent. Okay, let's go to verse 15. I'm going to read it quickly. Verse 15. And the Lord said to me, now Zechariah took on the second prophetic act. Now he act as the foolish shepherd. I can't imagine put myself in Zechariah's shoe. He must be confused. One moment, good shepherd. One moment, foolish shepherd. Okay, I mean, I can't imagine what Zechariah went through. Because first six chapter in one night, he has 8 visitations of the Lord. Wow. Then 7 to 8, God downloaded to him four heavy messages in one day. Then finally, last six chapter, give him two oracle and then have to play two prophetic act. It must be intense, you know. After that, he must be totally exhausted. You know, I don't envy him. Okay, let's read verse 15. And the Lord said to me, next, take for yourself the imprint of the foolish shepherd. Basically, the foolish shepherd is talking about the Antichrist that is going to come. Okay, now Zechariah played a role as foolish shepherd. What's the reason? Let's go to verse 16. Indeed, I will raise up a shepherd. It's very obvious. The Lord is the one. I will raise up the shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off. He basically have no mercy. He's cruel. He's harsh. Daniel chapter 8 makes it very clear. I mean, that's why one of his name is called the beast. Basically reveal his nature. He's cruel. Okay, he will be harsh. He will show no mercy, not just to the nation of Israel, to any people of God. He's going to totally persecute and destroy. Okay, I'll raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand, but he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hoof in pieces. Basically talking about he will be totally cruel and evil and devour the Jewish people. Okay, show you two verses. Israel, unfortunately, will choose the foolish shepherd. Okay, one is Daniel 9. Turn with me to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. But God allows it so that she is being forced into the corner, and when she is being heavily persecuted, she begins to turn and cry out to Jesus. That's where Jesus will return and deliver her, because in the Bible says in one day the entire nation will turn. Okay, Daniel 9, verse 26, or rather verse 27. Daniel 9, verse 27, talks about a peace treaty. This is going to happen. This is one of the major end-time events. It's about Israel signing a seven-year peace treaty with a man of peace. Because at the beginning of the seven... Can I take another 5 minutes? Okay, I'm going to finish in 5 minutes. At the beginning of the 7 year, when this man of peace, inverted comma, signed a peace treaty or covenant with the nation of Israel, promised that there will be peace among nations in Middle East, he came as a man of peace. Only at the middle of the 3.5 years, he unveil his mask, and Israel was shocked. In Isaiah 28, talks about they signed a treaty of death. They realized, who have we make a treaty with? Why have we even chosen this shepherd? That's where Jesus prophesied in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, the abomination and desolation. Antichrist is going to Jerusalem because Israel gave him the permission. He's going to walk into Jerusalem, declare him as a world leader and God to be worshipped, and he'll build an image of himself in the temple of Jerusalem called the Abomination of Desolation. And he began to highly persecute Israel, and Israel will be scattered. Half of it will be put into prison to be tortured, another great Holocaust, and another half was scattered among around Egypt and Lebanon, the area. Okay, let's read Daniel 9, verse 27. Then he, referring to the foolish shepherd, okay, then he shall confirm a treaty with many for 1 week. In the Daniel 9 prophecy, 1 week is equivalent to 7 years. It's understood translation. Okay, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Okay, there will be peace for the first 3.5 years. Okay, then in the middle of the week, at the 3.5 year, that's where we begin the great tribulation. Okay, in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Because what is going to happen is this. This foolish shepherd will promise Israel peace. More than promise Israel peace, he will allow Israel to build the temple of Jerusalem for the first time since Zechariah's time. And more than that, for the first time, temple worship going to return. That's what he's going to promise. But at the middle of the 3.5 years, he's going to reveal himself as the Antichrist and break all his promise. He'll begin to persecute Israel and begin to persecute the church. Okay, that's what the verse is. And on the wind of abomination shall be one who make desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. The greatest trouble is going to come on the nation of Israel. One more, Isaiah 28. Turn me to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. That's why we need to pray for Israel. No, we can't pray that this covenant will not be made because it's a prophetic promise. But we can pray for a remnant of the Jewish people that will be saved, that they will cry out. We can pray for God's hand of protection upon our nation of Israel. Even in the midst of all this chaos. Listen to Isaiah 28, verse 14. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Now the Lord is addressing to the leaders of the nation of Israel. He said this. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men. He's referring to the leaders of Israel, who is going to sign a treaty with the foolish shepherd, who rule these people who are in Jerusalem. Verse 15. Listen to verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. It's referring to the covenant in Daniel 9:27. They didn't know it's a covenant of death. When they signed this, they thought that they will be spared the reign of terror by this man, Antichrist. Okay, that's how verse 15 says this. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with sure we are in agreement, so that when the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. They signed the peace treaty because they think that by signing the peace treaty with this man, when the reign of terror come, it will pass by them. Didn't realize that this one is a foolish shepherd. He will be cruel. Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. Your covenant with death shall be annulled. That means Antichrist will break the treaty at the 3.5 year point. And your agreement with death will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, that means the terror of Antichrist. Listen to this, it's terrifying. What Isaiah is saying, that even reading of the report will bring fear. And he said there will be no place to cover. He used the illustration of the blanket. Blanket is like too short. You want to cover your head when it's too cold, your leg will be exposed. You want to cover your leg, your head will be exposed. You want to cover your right hand, your left hand will be, no, right hand, your left hand will be exposed. There's no place that can be hide because this man is going to discipline the nation of Israel. Okay, let's read verse 19. As often as he goes out, he will take you from morning by morning. It will pass over, and by day and by night, it will be a terror just to understand the report. It's going to be terrifying even just to read it. Verse 20. There will be no place to hide. For the bed is too short to stretch out, and the covering so narrow that one cannot wrap himself. Using the illustration of the blanket, there's no place to hide. Okay, but God is going to judge this foolish shepherd. That's verse 17. I'm going to just read quickly. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm. Basically, Jesus is going to come and judge and destroy this Antichrist. It's all built up in many, it's all being revealed in many of the prophetic scripture pertaining to end time, whether it's Daniel 11 and 12 or Revelation 19, okay? He's going to come against his arm, talking about Jesus is going to destroy his strength, his military strength, and whatever strength that he has. And against his right eye, that means he's going to remove his wisdom. And he will overthrow this foolish shepherd and deliver the nation of Israel. That is what is going to happen to the nation of Israel, where they're going to choose the foolish shepherd as their leader. And Zechariah 12, which is next week, and 13 give us the reason why God allows it. Because God is going to refine the nation of Israel so that she will arise as pure and holy nation that God is looking for her as a nation and the destiny that the Lord has for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Why don't we end with this? Let's gather into groups of 2 and 3 and pray for Israel. Because at the end of the day, all this teaching is one to stir our heart to pray for Israel. Let's pray for 2 things. Okay? One is this. Let's pray for the salvation of Jewish people. There are more and more Jewish people being saved all over the world. You know, we are seeing a mini revival among the Jewish people being saved. You know, conservatively right now, they say there are about 250,000 messianic Jewish believers. That is a lot. You go back to 1950s, you hardly have one. So it's, the Jewish people are getting saved. I wouldn't say saved, getting saved by the tons, but that this is a revival. There are at least 250,000 or even more. They are getting saved by the day, you know, where God promised that godly remnant. Okay, let's continue to pray for that because God has to have the godly remnant so that the nation can be delivered. Because they are the one that's primarily is going to cry out and is going to be the weakness of God during end time in Jerusalem. These are some of it. Two of the great examples is the 2 weaknesses that Revelation 11 talks about. God is going to raise up the godly remnant among the Jewish people. So pray for Jewish people to be saved. You can use Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, that God will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication so that the eyes will be open. Okay. Second is pray for God's protection over this land. Israel cannot and will not stand without the prayer of the Gentile church. God is raising up the greatest prayer movement at the end of the age. One of the main reasons is to pray for Israel. The church has to stand with her. If we do not stand with her, she will not stand. You can use Psalms 121. Psalms 121 is primarily to pray for Israel. What a powerful psalm. The God of Israel neither sleep nor slumber, watches over her. And because this one that watches over her neither sleep nor slumber, he will not allow her to be moved. Wow. And because of that, God is faithful to his word. Israel will not move. Can we do that? Get into groups of 2 and 3. Just pray for these 2 things.